Good, everyone with us? Just about? That's good. Good to wait for everyone. So here we go. We're going to pick up a reading. It may be a bit doomy and gloomy, but it's into this doomy, gloomy setting that the good news of Christmas comes. So let me read from verse 19 of chapter 8. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upwards, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Grown-ups, please keep that open in front of you. Boys and girls, if you would find it helpful to come a bit nearer to the front, you're very welcome. But everything you need today will be up here. Okay, so you're going to do it. Now, to get us warmed up, because I want to think about just a little bit of a phrase from this Bible reading today. To get us warmed up, we're going to play a game, okay, just to get your minds working. It's a game of opposites. So if I say on, what's the opposite of on?
Stop.
Off. Very good. So we are awake today. If I say light, what's the opposite of light?
Dark.
If I say big, what's the opposite of big?
Small.
Very good. Okay. Now this one's tricky. This is the one we're warming up to today. Okay, you ready? If I say the word peace, what's the opposite of peace? Ooh, who's it there? Yeah, Jacob, shout it out nice and loud.
War.
Can you say that with me?
War.
No, you can't say it war. You've got to give it something, haven't you? It's so an aggressive word. You've got to go, war. Can you say that? One, two, three.
War.
Yeah, war. Now, you may be thinking, hang on. It's Christmas Day. Give us a break. Why are we thinking about this word? What's the word?
War. War.
Because I need us to understand something on Christmas Day. And this is what we need to understand. Can you pop it up on the screen for me? It's this. Our world is at war with God. Okay, we've got some actions to remember that this morning. So you're going to see this with me? So our world is at war with God. And I don't want to be the only one saying this morning. Okay, so the boys and girls are going to do that nice and loud with me. Ready? One, two, three. Our world is at war with God. Now you see, war is the opposite of peace. War is when people are fighting each other. War is when people don't get on with one another. Whereas peace is when people are friends, when people are getting on. And our world, it's a world war, is at war with God. It's not a war with bombs and with planes and with tanks, but it's a war against God, God who made us. ever since the beginning of time. So here we are, here's us, and here's God, and we are, can you say the word with me, we are at war with God. Ever since the beginning of time, in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve, who had peace with God, they were his friends, they chose to disobey him. And in that moment in Genesis 3, at the beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve chose to make war against God. They chose to say to God, we do not want to listen to you. We do not want to be your friends. We want to do things our own way. Now in effect, and this is what the Bible calls sin, Adam and Eve said to God, shove off, I'm in charge, no to you being a boss. Okay, that's sin, S-I-N. Shove off, I'm in charge, no to you being the boss. That's what Adam and Eve said to God. And in that moment, they made war against God. They said, we don't want to be your friends. We want to do things our own way. But actually, the reality is it wasn't just Adam and Eve, our great-great-grandparents, who made war with God. Because actually, if we're honest, every single one of us, as great-great-grandchildren of Adam and Eve, have contributed to this war in some way. Every single one of us, whether we are young or whether we are old, have made war against God. Perhaps for some of us here today, we've made war because we said, we don't believe God really exists. We don't think that he's true. We don't think that Jesus was real. We don't think he is who he said he was. And we've made war against God. For some of us, it's just that we ignore what God says. So the Bible tells us all sorts of good things. But for some of us, we've made war against God because we said, God, we don't want to listen to your instructions. So maybe it's just that you've been rude to somebody. Or maybe that's that you choose to disobey mum and dad sometimes. And in that moment, we're saying to God, I'm making war against you because I don't want to listen to you. And actually, the Bible says because we have made war against God, that we can no longer be friends with God. The Bible says that we have to stay away from God because we've become his enemies, not his friends. And in the Bible, it tells us, do you think that's a happy or a sad place to be? What do you think? What do you think? It's a sad place to be. The Bible tells us it's actually a place of gloom. Can you say that?
Gloom.
You've got to give me a gloomy face. Can we have that? It's a place of
gloom.
Because we've made war against God. Now, and grown-ups, with Isaiah 9 in front of you, that's what we were reading about. It was a time in history where they'd chosen not to consult God, but to go and do their own thing. They've made war against God. And how is it described? It's described as a time of
gloom
and darkness. Because that's what it's like to be at war with God. And boys and girls, I want you to think about something. Will you hold out your hand for me for a moment? I want you to pretend for a moment that you are God. And there's your hand. And then I want you to picture for me a little ant in the middle of your hand. And that ant is saying something to you. It's saying, I'm going to get you. You are making war against you. I'm going to destroy you. I don't need you. Now close your hand. What have you just done to that little ant? Squashed it. Was that ant's threat real? No. A little ant cannot make war against you, a big human being. And actually, do you know what? Humans are like a little ant in the hand of God, and you cannot win a war against God. We are in a time. We don't want to listen to you. We don't believe you. You cannot win a war with God. And God in the Bible tells us that one day, everyone who's made war against God, everyone who's raging against God, everyone who says, actually one day, the Bible says that God will punish those who have made war against him. Now, can you do our actions with me one time? So the words on the screen here, our world is at war with God. You ready? Our world is at war with God. Now, that's not a very happy thing to think about on Christmas Day, isn't it? And there are some grown-up faces looking at me thinking, what are you talking about? It's Christmas Day! But can I tell you something? It's actually this truth that makes something very special on Christmas Day for the followers of Jesus. Because on Christmas Day, we remember something awesome about our God, the one that we've made war against. Because it's something we read about in Isaiah chapter 9. God promised a long, 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 long time ago that he would make, what's this word? Peace. He would bring the war to an end. And he would do it using someone called the Prince of Peace. Now, you don't have to say it like that. Emma told me off for saying it like that earlier. The Prince of Peace. Now, we're in action for that, okay? So we're going to go Prince of Peace. That's a cuddle, by the way. That's not me trying to look gangster. All right. That is the Prince of Peace. That's the truth of this message in Isaiah. So a long time ago, even before Jesus was born, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, while this war was raging, while people were saying, to God, God says, I want peace. I want to be friends again. I want the war to be over. And he promised to send a child, for to us a child is born, and this child would be, what is he, the Prince of Peace. Now you're going to need to do better than that. Ready? Especially my guys down there. Ready? One, two, three. The Prince of Peace. And that's what we're celebrating on Christmas. When Jesus came into our world, the Prince of Peace had arrived. The angels sang about him. You'll know we sung loads of hymns about it today. But the angels sang about him and said, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth, on whom his favour rests. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into our world to make peace, to end the war between us and God. Now, can I tell you something, boys and girls? Listen, this is a big truth that the Bible says. We need to be forgiven for making war against God. Whether we think we've only made a little war, or whether we've made a big war against God, we need to be forgiven for making war against God. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into our world to make peace between us and God by going to the cross. Isaiah, just a little bit later in his book, talks again about the Prince of Peace. And he says something in Isaiah 53. He says the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. This baby that we celebrate at Christmas, this child that was born, grew up to become the Prince of Peace, who took the punishment that making war against God deserves. In a New Testament letter of Colossians, it tells us that the Prince of Peace made peace through shedding his blood on the cross. The child who was born, the Prince of Peace, grew up to die on a cross, and he is the one who gives us peace with God as we come to him in faith. Jesus came to, can you do this one with me? He came to make peace with God. That's what he came to. Can you do that? He came to make peace with God. He came so that people like you and me, rather than having a hand that says, you've got to stay away, you're not welcome because you've made war, now we get a huge welcome when we come to God through the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And actually, do you know what? It's even better than that. He doesn't just make peace, but he also keeps the peace. And now, especially if you're a Christian here today, can I tell you to tune into this? Because this is something worth celebrating today. Have a look with me at the Isaiah passage, particularly if you're a grown-up, and have a look at verse 7. You'll see it uses two words to describe the work of Jesus. It uses the word he came to establish and to uphold. Two things that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to do. He came to establish peace, make peace, but he also came to keep the peace. Now, boys and girls, where's my Levi? Levi, he's over here. My Levi made a fantastic Lego model the other day, but it was very fragile. And so having made this amazing Lego model, he then spent the rest of the day having to keep it and protect it. Because every time a clumsy Wally like me came near, I knocked a piece off. And Levi was like, ooh, you're going to break my model. And he had to stick it back together. Wasn't that right, Levi? He made this model, but he then had to keep this model. Now, here's one thing I want you to understand about Jesus this morning, the Prince of Peace. Jesus came into our world to make peace, to give us peace with God. But the great thing about Jesus is that he also keeps our peace with God. He maintains our peace. He protects our peace. And actually, that's what he's doing right now, as he intercedes for us in heaven. Boys and girls, even though, as someone who's trusted Jesus for a long time, I have peace with God, sometimes I still make war against God in different ways. So there are days where I get proud and I think, oh, I don't need God today. I can do this by myself. And I forget to pray. There are days when I'm mean to other people because I wake up all grumpy and I get grumpy with my children and I get grumpy with my wife and I'm... And I'm making war against God again because I'm not doing what he says is right. And I don't know, are you like that as well? Do you wake up sometimes and even though you're trusting Jesus, the Prince of Peace, sometimes you still set out on a day and you say, I'm making war today. Anyone around me, you're in my war path. That's what we do. We make war against God. I want to do things my own way. And can I tell you, if you're like me, if you're already trusting Jesus, the Prince of Peace, but you still make war, then something worth celebrating on Christmas Day is that Jesus didn't come just to make peace, but he came to keep the peace. And every day, I need Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Because the Bible says that to have peace with God is the happiest place to be. Can you give me a happy face? Imagine that you've just reopened your Christmas presents. Oh yeah, that's good. Caleb, that is... What did they give you for Christmas? Look at Caleb's face. Wow. We'll talk about your present later. I'll have a word with Mum and Dad. Okay, but actually, do you know what? For having peace with God, even though we live in a world that's still at war, even though we live in a war zone with God, to have peace with God is the happiest and best place that we can be on earth. And actually, let's do our actions one more time, can we? So number one, our world, we did that together. Our world is at war with God. But Jesus came as the Prince of Peace so that we can have peace with God. But there's one final thing I want us to think about today. And that is that Jesus, the peace that Jesus gives us, lasts forever. Now we need an action for that. So can we do that? So it lasts forever. That's the peace that Jesus gives. Now, I love Christmas Day. I love it for all sorts of reasons. I love opening presents. I'm just going to be right up front and just say that's a cool thing. I couldn't wait to open my Christmas present this morning. And I get all excited about it. And I really look forward to Christmas Day. And I was getting all excited. And last night we went to bed. And yeah. But the thing about Christmas Day, and particularly when you're a grown-up, is it goes so fast. And then it's over before you know it. And you think, oh, I've been waiting, you know, open a calendar every day to count down the days to Christmas, and then phew, it's gone. And that's the sad truth about our world, isn't it? That good things, things we look forward to, come to an end. It doesn't last forever. Except the peace that Jesus gives to those who trust him. Because the peace that Jesus gives lasts for, can you do it with me? It lasts for ever. It just goes on and on. Think about it like this. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who came into our world to make peace by dying on a cross, rose from the dead. Now that's such an important truth for the Christian. Why? Because it means he lives forever. And if he lives forever, what kind of peace does he give to us? A peace that lasts forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Grown-ups, if you've got that there, it says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. The peace Jesus gives us lasts forever. Not like Christmas Day. Maybe some of us are longing for Christmas Day to be over. But it's not like Christmas Day that passes so quickly and then it's gone. Or batteries in a toy, which some of us will be praying will run out later today. But it's those batteries in a toy that eventually drain down. Jesus' peace is not like that. His peace lasts forever. And that means that actually, even as we trust Jesus, the peace that we have with God lasts even through our death, and it lasts into the whole of eternity. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Can we do our actions one more time? So, ready? 1, 2, 3. Our world is at war with God. But Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, and his peace lasts forever. And so that leaves me with a question. Boys and girls, will you look at me very carefully? I want to ask you this morning, and grown-ups as well, do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God this Christmas? If the answer is no, then actually you could have peace with God today. It's very simple. You don't have to jump any hoops. You don't have to do any gymnastics. You don't have to bow down any some number of times. You simply say, Jesus, Prince of Peace, would you give me peace with God? And boys and girls, I always help my children to understand it by this. First of all, you say sorry. You say sorry that I've made war against God. And then you say thank you. Jesus, thank you that you came as the Prince of Peace to make peace with God. Thank you that you died on a cross in my place. And then you say, please, please give me peace that lasts forever. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus this Christmas. And today, Christmas Day, you may get some pretty cool gifts. But imagine if the coolest thing you got today was peace with God that lasted forever. Forgiveness for making war against God. Whether you think that's been a big war or just a little war, whatever you think, you still need peace with God. And Christian, this morning, if you have peace with God already, then today you need to celebrate that the war is over. Because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into this world. And we have peace with God, not because we're clever, not because we've earned it, but because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has given it to us by coming into this world. That's a great thing to celebrate on Christmas Day, isn't it? Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Boys and girls, we're going to do our actions one last time together. Can you do that with me? You ready? I want to hear you nice and loud. And the grown-ups do as well, because they're all getting sleepy. They haven't even eaten yet, and they're all getting sleepy. So let's do it. Ready? Our world is at war with God, but Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and his peace lasts forever. Fantastic. Let's say a prayer, shall we? And then we're going to sing a final song together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for your generosity towards us, that although our world has made war against you, even though you are good and kind and compassionate and you made us to be at peace with you, we are so sorry that we have made war against you. And we thank you that despite that, you sent Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who would bring us peace with you. Father, many of us this morning want to say thank you for that peace. We thank you that it's a peace that isn't just made by Jesus at the cross, but is kept by Jesus as he lives and intercedes for us today. Father, we're sorry that we go on making war against you. We're sorry for the times that we fail. We're sorry for the times that we disobey you. We're sorry for the times that we get proud and forget you. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that his peace lasts forever. We thank you that his peace that he gives to us will last beyond our deaths and into eternity. And Father, we pray for those as yet who don't have peace with you. We pray for our community, especially around here. Father, as we come to the end of another year, we long, please, that this building would be full of souls from this community who you are bringing to have peace with you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, let's stand and sing a final song together, and then I'll explain what we're going to do for the rest of our morning if you're sticking around.